Hey y'all, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. Did I catch some of you off guard there? Sorry about that. It is Tune In Tuesday, or Tuesday's Tunes. At the end of the podcast, we're going to listen to Matt Mayer's song, Lord, I Need You. This is such a good song. Just reminds me that we are called to dependence upon the Lord. Recently, Wayne was asking, in discipleship, should we be more or less dependent upon God as we grow? And of course, the answer is, as we grow in discipleship, we should become more dependent. In every other area of our lives, it's like, oh, I should get more independent as we mature, but not in our faith. We are called to deeper dependence and more recognition of our daily, hourly, minutely need for the Lord. Today we're in Exodus chapter 4. Again, I get so hyped up about Exodus, especially this interaction between Moses and God and Moses' objections and God's corrections. We'll be reading Exodus 4, verses 1 through 17 today. In this passage, there are three objections that Moses brings to God. Look for them. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to him'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it to the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous, like snow. "Now put it back in your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored, like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "O Lord, please send someone else to do it." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it." Goodness gracious, there's so much here I want to say. Remember yesterday, we got the question, "Who am I?" Moses said to the Lord, or he objected, "Who am I to do this?" And what was God's correction? He said, "I will be with you." We skipped another objection. It was, Who should I say sent me? In other words, Moses asked the Lord, what's your name? I am who I am is God's response. He is self-existent, not contingent or derived from anything. He depends on no one, and he needs nothing. But we need him every moment of every day. Today, we read a couple more objections. The first one, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? It's very valid. Moses is scared. He's going back to his people. And what does the Lord do? He gives him signs, these conditional use kind of signs, so that the people would believe. Next is my favorite. Lord, I've never been eloquent, Moses says. And what is God's correction to him? I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you to speak, and I'm going to teach you what to say. And then finally, Moses, in some kind of ditch effort, says, oh, Lord, please send somebody else. Can I get a hand for somebody who feels like Moses? Lord, please, I can't do this. God is angry, but he's also gracious. And he knows Moses' weakness, and he knows our weakness. And he sends someone to the rescue. He sends Aaron, Moses' brother, who is a type pointing forward to Christ, the one who will come and speak on Moses' behalf. And we have the Lord, Jesus Christ, who speaks on our behalf, and he dies in our place. This is such a good passage. I hope that you have time to meditate on it more. I think the Lord is telling us that he can use us no matter what, no matter what we've done in the past, even if our voice is not quite eloquent enough, we don't have to fear. We need to focus in on who he is, and he's always going to send help along the way. Let's turn on over to the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20 has a lot of parallels with the book of James. As I read, I want you to think about some of those parallels. I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. Wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. A king's wrath is like a roar of a lion. He who angers him forfeits his life. It is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. Many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man, who can find? The righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. When a king sits on his throne to judge, he winnows out all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have kept my heart pure? I am clean and without sin. Differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both. Even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. There are so many of these proverbs that I'd like to meditate on. Look back at verse 3. It is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. I think about James and how he tells us to be quick to listen or quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Verse 11 also reminds me of the book of James. Even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right. Our actions reveal our character. Now, it's not every little bitty action. We do have grace, but there's the pattern of behavior. And James would tell us that our faith is shown by our works. And so, Lord, today we thank you for the encouragement from your word that you are present and that you will teach us what to say and do. We thank you, Lord, even for the correction. Help us, Lord, to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, not quick to quarrel, not someone who is prone to bad patterns of behavior. Help us to keep our hearts pure. Help us to be righteous and a blessing to the next generation, and not a sluggard looking for excuses not to do something. Lord, you are the self-existent, non-contingent, non-derived one. You are from everlasting to everlasting. We just want to sit in awareness of your presence and the humility of the fact that even though you're so grand, Lord, you've chosen us as your children. Thank you, Father. Lord, we need you every hour. Every hour we need you. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Sin runs deep, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Oh God, how I need.